surrounded by robots, staring into glowing screens, plugged into the wall, they won't look at me at all. And I guess it's not for me. I would like to know a few more people. I only know 10 or 12, it seems. But if you know any more, send them right up to my door. We'll have a drink and talk about these things. Where did it go? That thing that lets you know that you're in the right town at the right time with the right folks. When did it go? I am surrounded by the cool kids, but trying all that hard don't impress me. I'll ask one now and then about the latest fashion trend, funny clothes in place of personality. Living in some old messed up TV show seems so unrealistic at the time. But now that it's all real and we all forgot how to feel from all that stuff they slipped into our minds, where did it go? That thing that lets you know that you're in the right town at the right time with the right folks. Where did it go? I am surrounded by pretenders who hang it up when nobody's looking. A love that's all for show, for a thing they'll never know. Convenient validation is the king. Someone told me, man, you just don't get it. Well, I'm sorry, friend, but I'm afraid I do. It ain't hard to figure out what these fools are all about if you listen for a minute or two. Where did it go? That thing that lets you know that you're in the right town at the right time with the right folks. Where did it go?
And that was Taylor Scott of the Taylor Scott Band, the man himself. You're listening to Express Yourself on KDNK. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming in and sharing that song.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
And so that was off of the new album, All We Have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a song called Surrounded that I wrote about some of the just sort of awkward quirks of my generation.
Yeah. Surrounded by robots.
Yeah.
I think we can all relate.
It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it?
You know, there's a lot of sophistication in the lyrics. Where do you feel the impulse to write comes from? What's your process?
Man, I've always kind of had that, I guess ever since I started playing around with music at a young age, I've had that itch to scribble, you know, as Hitchens put it. And I guess I've just always been interested in trying to find and tell my own story, you know, and also always been just kind of an observer, I guess, just really into people watching and seeing the not only literally people watching, but just kind of observing what makes people tick and trying to figure all that out. You know, I don't claim to know, but it's interesting to try to kind of wrestle with it. And a lot of that ends up coming out in my writing, you know, things that I feel like I learn or observe. So lately that's been a big thing. Is I think ever since I moved to Denver, I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming, but then I moved to Denver as a young adult. and just started really getting into trying to figure out what makes people tick, you know, just like ordinary everyday life observations. And so that's been a huge inspiration the past few years for sure, and definitely brought me songs like that last one.
Mm-hmm. One thing I appreciate about your music is you don't stick to a specific genre. It's very much its own unique sound, and you play with sounds of funk and jazz mm-hmm. and country and mm-hmm. mix it all together.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think it's been one of our strong suits, and it can make things hard sometimes business wise because it's like everybody wants to know what do we call you, and it's like, man, I don't know what to say. I mean, and you know, we've kind of sunk into this sort of this Americana kind of style, but it's also guitar driven and super super bluesy, and there's a lot of soul and funk influence in there. But the writing for me has been coming from sort of this Americana country folk blend kind of place too. So it's funny because you'll hear me play this way, you know, just me and the acoustic, and hear the songs in that sort of form. And then once the band gets a hold of it, just putting a little bit of that grease and grit that we love from blues and funk and soul music and rock and roll, and some of the improvisational side of things that we all love from jazz, the jazz world, you know, and it just kind of goes on and on. And so I guess the sound ends up somewhere with a blend of all these genres like you're talking about, but it all tends to start with just songwriter tunes for me and then kind of evolve.
Do you think there's a theme or any message behind the lyrics, like a contemplation on the world?
Yeah, I think, man, and this could change any time depending on what type of inspiration strikes me, but right now, past couple of years, I feel like I've been writing a lot towards the idea of remaining present, you know, in mm-hmm. everyday life. And that can take a lot of different forms, of course, you know, literally as you're going about your day, remaining present, that means a lot of different things to different people. And similarly, it translates into the writing in different ways. Sometimes it ends up coming through in a literal, you know, story with characters that I kind of came up with based on some idea of remaining present. And sometimes it's just flat out saying it, sort of like that Surrounded tune I just played, you know, it's just kind of putting it straight out there. So I feel like even though I'm writing about a lot of different things, that theme has just kind of remained present the past couple of years, of just remaining present and kind of paying attention to the goods of everyday life, you know?
Yeah, it's a fertile time to be writing meaningful lyrics because they're surely needed.
Yeah, and sometimes they're hard to find. You got to go looking, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so before you were 21 years old, you were already touring with Otis Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
How did that come to be?
Man, it was such a great experience. You know, I started a blues band when I was still in high school, you know, with a bunch of friends, and we actually started working pretty quick. By the time I was 15, we were playing gigs, you know, and like I said, I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming, so we started playing little, you know, kind of like little the town square concert series, kind of stuff like that, little bars. And then, of course, pretty quickly started moving down to Colorado because there was more musicians and more places to play and people to come hear the music. So I got involved in the kind of blues scene that Colorado has and, you know, had at the time, and just kind of started meeting people in that scene. And Otis Taylor lives in Boulder. A lot of people don't know that because he's an international touring artist, but he lives in Boulder, Colorado. And so a mutual friend just told him about me when he was looking for a guitar player, and I auditioned having never really heard Otis's music before. So I was expecting like a Chicago type of thing, a 12 bar kind of blues thing, you know, which was what I was really used to playing at the time. And then if you know Otis's music, you're already laughing because his thing is so radical as far as the blues world goes, and so unique that I went to this audition and fell flat on my face, or so I thought. But he called me for the gig, and we ended up touring together for 3 or 4 years and doing Europe 5 or 6 times a year, like we were just talking about before the show started. And man, that was pretty crazy because I think the first show I did with him, I was still 19. So getting plucked right after high school in Cheyenne, Wyoming, getting plucked out of that. And then all of a sudden we're in Paris and, you know, in Rome and all kinds of other places that I never dreamed I'd go, especially by that age, right? So
yeah,
it was a learning experience, man. It definitely affected my music too.
I imagine it was very formational.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm grateful for it.
And the people that you got to meet as well, one of which continues to play in your band now.
Yeah, our drummer Larry Thompson's playing with us tonight, and we've been playing together since the Otis Taylor days when I was, 19 and for the next few years after that. So, like I mentioned to you earlier, Larry and I had done literally several hundred thousand miles together before he and I ever did a gig with my band, with my material. So there's a lot of history with the players here, too, and that makes it super fun.
And Larry Thompson has his own history here in the Roaring Fork Valley, yep. Having played with Starwood.
Yep.
So you're at Steve's Guitars tonight at 8:30. Have you played Steve's before?
No, and actually, this band's never even played in Carbondale proper before. We played in the area a good bit, but so first time at Steve's, first time really in town.
Great. And as Steve mentioned in his email, they got the Ralph Pitt seal of approval, much coveted, so it's sure to be a great show.
Love working with him.
Well, would you like to play another song from this newest album?
Yeah, totally. I'll do one off the record called The Walk, and I actually wrote this when I was just 19 or 20 and ended up on this most recent record. So a little bit of stay in power, we hope. It's called The Walk, like this.
This is Katie and Kay, and we're listening to Taylor Scott perform in studio. He's got a show tonight at Steve's Guitars at 8:30 with the band, and that was off of the newest record.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, it's funny, that song, I wrote it when I was 19 or 20, But when Steve Berlin, the producer of the record, and I got together to decide on songs, he asked me to send him everything, you know, no matter how old it was or whatever, and if we had recorded it before. And that was one that ended up in the pick of a dozen or so tunes. And I was like, man, I wrote that a long time ago, but we can give it a shot. And it's cool. It's actually worked out. People are digging on it. So.
And that's Steve Berlin, the horn player for Los Lobos?
It is, yeah.
So how was the experience of working with him to produce a record?
Man, super cool. And now I've had a relationship with him now for a few years. And we're even working in the studio now on something new for later release. And we've played a bunch of gigs together. I've gotten to play with Los Lobos a lot.
Cool.
Because of Steve, you know. But the mm-hmm. first time we walked into the studio together was actually the first time we had met at all. He got a hold of my record and dug the tunes and gave us a call, and we'd agreed to do some work together. And so it's a little nerve-wracking because we had never worked with any kind of producer, let alone one that high up. You know, this guy's won Grammys and is a rock and roll legend. And so it was a little nerve-wracking at first. But, man, we just clicked right away, and the first song we recorded that day just really popped off, you know, immediately. And there was a chemistry in the room right away, and just – after the first day of session, so there was a mutual trust and respect, I think, between he and I and the rest of the guys too. And mm-hmm. so it's just been sailing ever since then, man. It's been a really fruitful creative partnership.
I bet it was interesting to see like that song that you wrote when you were 19 mm-hmm. transformed through the lenses of these masters.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And it's so cool because we have, like we were talking earlier, we have so many different genres that are a part of our palette, you know, that because all these influences are incredibly important to us, and mm-hmm. it's why we play the way we play and write the way we write. But Steve was able to really, as a producer, see that or hear that sound through the lens of a great producer and sort of package it in a more cohesive way that made it sound like a band and not like just four guys that had a bunch of really widely varied record collections, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it was cool having him just kind of package it and put it all together and gave it its own sound through all those genres and all those influences. So it was super exciting.
So are some of the guys in the band now people you played with growing up in Cheyenne?
Nobody from Cheyenne, but when I still lived in Cheyenne, because I only moved to Denver when I was, I guess, 21, mm-hmm. and I'm 26 now, so I've been there about 5 years, but when I first started this band, I did still live in Cheyenne, so I was driving down to Denver, because all these guys are Denver cats, mm-hmm. and I was driving down for every rehearsal and every gig, and, you know, the whole grind, and so pretty quick, once I got a little break from the Otis touring, I moved down right away. But I've been playing with two of these three guys since I was late teens, so uh-huh. there's history, yeah.
Well, at 26, the prospects are good. You're working alongside all these legends.
Man, it's a blessing.
Is it something that you could have foresaw or imagined happening?
I don't think so, man. You know, I don't think anything really goes as you plan it, you know, especially mm-hmm. big picture wise, you know, so I couldn't have really foreseen any of this. You know, I was going to see Los Lobos when I was 13, 14 years old. So the fact that then I'd be on stage with them so frequently 10 years later, you know, 10, 12 years later is pretty cool. But I don't know. I've learned to go with the flow a little bit and find that there's a lot of beauty in that instead of as much as we try to plan everything out and, you know, yeah. figure it all out ahead of time. I think going with the flow and being open to opportunities has just surrounded me with great musicians like the guys I'm going to play with tonight. And like you're mentioning, Lobos and Los Lonely Boys and all these great, you know, played with on a record with Warren Haynes even. And, you know, I never pictured that stuff happening, you know, especially mm-hmm. at the age. So, man, just feel super grateful for all the opportunities and the lessons.
Yeah, you're open to the blessings to take you there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a new record is something you're working on. Any other big, exciting projects on the horizon?
You know, we recorded a couple of live shows this past year, in 2019, towards the end of the summer after we had been touring a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out really well. And I don't know exactly what we're going to do with them yet, but we're talking about putting them out sooner rather than later in some form. So it's still loose, but there are a few things in the pipeline, even some studio stuff too. We've been working with Steve again. There are things in the pipeline, but we're kind of figuring out what's the best way to go about making sure people get to hear it. So new stuff is coming in the next few months for sure, though.
Oh, great. Do you think this next record that you're working on in the studio is going to sound very similar to the previous one? Or
I think it'll be similar in some ways. I mean, I'm writing the tunes again. It's most of the same players that we had before, and Steve's producing again. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the aim is to really is to grow the vision, you know, and to kind of take it to the next level as far as maturing, or allowing the sound to mature and kind of breathe a little. The songs we've recorded so far, it just feels like an extension of that sound, but mm-hmm. not exactly the same, but almost like just the next chapter of it. So there's continuity, but it's going to be new and exciting too. So I'm just stoked with what we have already. So I can't wait to share it whenever that ends up being.
And any of those songs making an appearance in your set tonight at Steve's?
Yeah, for sure. We like to play new stuff, man. You know, we'll play a bunch of stuff from the record, of course, but definitely gonna premiere some new material.
Great. Well, thank you so much, man. Taylor Scott, for coming in to Katie and Kay again to share your music. Once again, the show's at Steve's Guitars at 8:30 tonight. Not one to miss. It's got the Ralph Pitt seal of approval.
Appreciate that one.
Would you like to play us out with one more song?
Cool. I'll do one more from the record. This is called Curiosity.
All right.
How many things?